The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, January 13th, 2013. Welcome aboard. It is good to be here with you today, as always, and I am excited. It's a good day. It's a good day. Excited about what we're going to talk about today. So let's get to it. And I would start, as always, by coming together with you to make those connections. And let's begin, as always, with the primary connection, which is the one inward. So just take a moment to center yourself, to ground yourself, to breathe in, and open up to your own divinity. Open up to your own power. Open up to your own mastery. Whatever way works best for you. For many, that's right through the heart center. For others, it's through the solar plexus or the crown or some other way. But whatever works for you is fine. You're just allowing your own divinity, allowing your mastery to fill you. To fill you on the physical level. To fill you on the emotional level. To fill you on the mental level. To fill your entire energy field, and then to flow out into all of your relationships, all of your connections, bringing your highest essence into every aspect of your life, every interaction, every relationship. And just ground yourself into that space. Allow that feeling, to whatever degree you connect with that perception, allow that to become your new center point. As we continue on. And so let's move now into a greater experience of the primary connection with the physical dimension, which is our Mother Earth. And so open yourself into that connection, down through the root, down through the feet, through the cells of your body, and whatever other way might work for you. Allowing yourself to receive her love and her support. Feel that flowing into you. Filling you again across the board, physical, emotional, mental, filling your entire energy field, filling and flowing into your relationships, grounding your relationships more fully, bringing them into a greater sense of security because you're feeling more grounded within yourself, a greater sense of empowerment because you're feeling more grounded within yourself. And allow that to expand. Allow that to be added to this new center point. and allow your own gratitude to come up, that you can feel this way, that you can be this connected, and allow that gratitude to flow out back to Mother Earth. And as you do that, as you allow that gratitude to flow, you can allow more of her love and support to come in. And connect with all that you love about being a physical being. And allow that love for physicality, that love for these dimensions to flow back to her as well, as part of that gratitude, but as something additional as well. Wonderful. And with those connections to your divinity and to our Mother Earth expanded throughout the time we're going to spend together, we move on to our connections with the divine realms. Through all of the guides and angels, masters and teachers, and other spiritual beings that we connect with while we are here in body. And once more, opening yourself to receive their love and support, to receive that energy of their good wishes for you, their desire for you to have the life that you would choose, their desire for you to discover and live from your empowerment. And allow that to flow into you, into the physical, emotional, mental, to fill your entire energy field. And again, to support and flow into all of your relationships. What would it be like if all of your relationships truly felt divinely ordained, divinely ordered, divinely supported? Well, that's what's flowing here. So allow yourself to expand into that, and once more, allow your gratitude to arise and allow that to flow back out to all of that divine supports team that you have, your counsel, your guides, etc. Terms are irrelevant here. It's about the energy. And once more, connect with your love. Your love for spiritual experience, your love for walking this path, your love for the discovery of the next piece of your empowerment, and allow that love to flow out to these divine supporters as well. Again, as part of the gratitude, but as something more, something additional. And knowing that these connections are going to remain open throughout the time we spend together, let's expand yet again. And this time we come into this community, this sacred community of co-creators of exposing the masters within, each one of us walking in our own personal intention to discover, to experience, and to express our mastery and our empowerment. And each one of us contributing energy from that intention, from that desire, into the mass consciousness of this program, into the mass consciousness that we are co-creating here together, into the mass consciousness that creates the flow of what comes out of me and the words that get expressed. And allow yourself at this time to open into that connection with this mass consciousness, with this community, to receive the support of the rest of the community. That desire that I hold, that I believe you hold, or you wouldn't be listening, that each of us come into our power, and that as we walk forward together, the journey of each one of us becomes easier, because we can feel that support, and we can receive that support, and we can use that support as a foundation for movement forward. So allow yourself to receive that support of this community. And once more, allow your gratitude for that support to flow back out. Back to the community, adding the gratitude, adding energy to those intentions and desires. And so we continue across the realm of humanity, starting with all of humanity and connecting with that energy, the mass consciousness that all humanity shares, the desire for life to be better, to be expanded, to be improved, regardless of what way an individual might define it, that underpins hopes, dreams, desires. And so we can connect in with that, that shared intention to improve things, even when individually you may not know what that means or how to go about it. Collectively, that intention has a lot of power, and so we open to that, to receive the support of it, to receive the portions of it, especially that believe that community can make it easier. Many hands make light work. And so we connect with that and allow ourselves to receive that. And again, allow our gratitude to flow back into it, into that mass consciousness of all of humanity. It has taken all of us and all of the ancestors to create this world as it is right now, to create what we are experiencing right now. To invent the radio, to invent the internet, to invent electronics, to invent everything that we have. Individual inventors may have their names on some of these things, but it's a collective creation. When humanity is ready, the invention appears. And so now we expand out. It's a smaller group of humanity, a subset, those who are the conscious light workers, those who are consciously at this point in their lives seeking to walk this path that we're walking into empowerment, seeking to, or at least supporting others in walking their path of empowerment. And conscious intention is stronger than unconscious. That which we are consciously aware of is focused. It's like a laser rather than diffuse, like a light bulb. And so there's actually more power in here than in the one of all of humanity. And this is, again, that shared intention of empowerment, that shared intention of supporting empowerment and being supported, feeling that support. And so as we connect in with that and allow that to flow into us, to penetrate us, feel that empowerment rising, that sense of security, that sense of possibility. And know that these connections, as we've made them, made them greater in our awareness, greater in our permission, in our willingness to receive them. These connections are always there. They're always available. But much of the time, we're too distracted by our lives to feel them, to notice them, to embrace them, to use them. And so I thank you for giving me a reason to remind myself that these connections are here at least once a week and for joining me and connecting in this way and moving forward in empowerment. Because it truly is, I believe, a gift to be able to come together and join you, whether you're here for the first time or whether you're here every week. It's my honor to be the voice, to be the channel for what we as a group are co-creating. And today, what I would like to talk about, what's been up in my consciousness quite a bit of late, is the idea of symbols and signs. Now, part of that is what I've been reading this week, which is Man and His Symbols by Carl Jung. So eventually I got to it. Been on the path a long time and never read anything that he had written before. It's certainly out there in the mass consciousness when we talk about synchronicity. Well, that's his term. That's his conception that he brought forward for all of us to use. He certainly explored archetypes and the unconscious and the collective unconscious and so many other things that we on the path, excuse me, we on the path take for granted. In how we speak and in how we approach some of the things that we do. And yet, I'm not going to delve into his particular view of things necessarily, but rather where it's taken me as I've been reading it. And part of it is in making connections with other things that I have done or come across or perceived. Again, for those of you who know me or have listened to the program, you know that a long time ago, what seems like a past life, even though it's this body, it was certainly a past life. I used to be an English teacher, and that words have a tremendous power for me and a tremendous meaning for me. And a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, time is so vague these days, I was speaking about another book, The Inner Ear, and the focusing on the different ways of perceiving and how much we are a visual culture instead of an auditory one at this time, when not that that's entirely new, but that until, for instance, the advent of photography, the advent of especially movies, films, and television, and all the associated paraphernalia, including computers that have come since, where we are or have gotten culturally even more and more of a tunnel vision overall, rather than being sensual in that of all the senses, we've gotten more and more focused through the visual. And there's a certain, I don't know if it's an, no, it's probably not irony. I have a certain wistfulness, I guess, in that I'm doing a radio program, so to speak, and all you have is my voice. And there's not something to watch. So for you to listen, for you to follow, it requires a greater degree of inward focusing than if this were visual, if this were, shall we say, a webinar where my picture was up there and you were watching me talk. And in some ways, I feel like this is the perfect medium for that, rather than being visual. Because it does, just that very fact of listening takes you further in. And so, back to symbols. And what's been flowing through me is very interesting, well, at least to me, I guess, which is good. I don't want to be bored with my own thought process. It's been a jumble. It's been a jumble. Now, part of that has been finally getting the email out with the special in it and the response to that and putting out new work on Friday and the response to that and the new energies for bringing in that new series, etc. So there's a whole lot going on in here that's gotten me perhaps a little less than the clarity that I would normally bring to this. And if it sounds that way on your end of things, for that I apologize. But what's been jumbling around, what's been dancing in here, is not just the big picture of man and his symbols, or humanity and our symbols. In the sense that, Jung and the other psychologists in the book talk about it, but just the awareness of how much we live our life through symbol without realizing it. Now, he makes a distinction between symbols and signs, which that was at the beginning of the book, and I'm most of the way to the end of the book, so I'm not sure I'm going to state it very clearly. But a sign, and he gives examples like acronyms, and so NAACP would be a sign to him, at least as at the first level, I guess, the way he described it, in that that acronym stands for the group. In other words, the meaning of the acronym itself is no larger than the meaning of the group, whereas a symbol reaches outward and expands and expresses things beyond that. Now, perhaps I chose a very poor acronym because some people, the NAACP, that's going to be a symbol for the hope of people who are not Northern European descent to have empowerment. And so in that sense, that sign would be a symbol. For others, the white supremacist, that might be a sign of everything that's wrong with the world, or a symbol of everything that's wrong with the world. So I don't quite have the clarity that Jung has of the difference between those two. So I may use those terms interchangeably during this discussion. And not the way I like to be, but as I said, I'm not quite as clear as perhaps I would choose to be today. And yet, again, that's the big picture of things. And yet the very fact that you can understand me, to me, in the way I think of it, is because we have a common symbology called the English language. And I was sitting when this thought occurred to me earlier today, and so that may be why this was the example that came in. But when I say the word chair, I would say it's a symbol, or at least it's a sign in Jung's terminology, but it's a symbol to me, because the word chair spoken isn't something you can sit on. It's representative of a physical object. And the fact that we speak the same language, what does that mean? It means that we agree that those sounds put together in that particular order mean a certain thing. And yet, every single person who heard me say chair just now, if you're a visual sort, you saw a different kind of chair in your head. A different specific chair, at least. Because when I say chair, that covers a whole group of things. That covers the desk chair that I'm sitting in. That covers a recliner. That covers a sofa. That covers a kitchen chair, that covers all kinds of really weird-shaped things from the 1950s in modern design, that covers a beanbag chair. It covers this entire gamut of things, the rocking chair that I grew up with that was my grandmother's that came with her from Germany. All of these things all come under that umbrella. That, for me, is why it's a symbol. It's this expansive thing. And if I ask you to think about the most comfortable chair, something's going to come to mind. If I ask you to think about a utilitarian chair, something that will do the job, well, that's going to bring up different associations in your consciousness. And so not just that, not just nouns. That's an obvious thing where we are using symbols every time we speak. When I say we, what does that mean? We, all of humanity, just got included in that statement. Or we, the community who are listening to this program. Or we, just the men on the planet. Or we, just the healers on the planet. Or we, just the channels. Or we, just the radio co-hosts. And on and on and on. That can encompass all these different subsets. We. How do you know what I mean? You know, based on context. Based on context. Again, it's the shape of this common agreement pattern that we have. And as an English teacher, I could tell you all the rules of grammar. And as a healer and a channel, I can't tell you very many of them at all anymore. And that's okay. Because the majority of people, when we are native speakers especially, we understand the structure that we use to shape the symbols and how we get the meaning across. And so we take into account context on a regular basis. There are some people who have reading disabilities where that's one of the things they can't recognize. They can't recognize the context, so they don't know between all these varieties of possibility that a single word can symbolize. They don't know how to read the context to figure out which one is meant. They take things very, very literally. And yet, we don't. Most of us don't. We speak in analogies. It was raining cats and dogs. The person who has that issue would think that literally they would envision cats and dogs falling out of the sky and wonder what catastrophe was happening. Or if they don't like animals, they'd go out looking to celebrate. And yet we understand that what we mean is that by that phrase is it was really raining hard. And yet we use this kind of analogy as a symbolic, as a metaphoric expression to make it more colorful, to make it more enjoyable, to make it more playful. And this hidden realm of symbols is with us every time we speak and every time we listen and every time we read. We're delving into this vast ocean. Yet another symbol. Am I really saying we're diving in the ocean? No. I'm saying it's huge. There is so much symbolism that we are living in all the time that we don't even recognize. We might notice it when it stands out. When someone exaggerates to the extreme, they use hyperbole and they're just out there and dramatic in their expression. Then we notice it. It's raining cats and dogs when anyone who's looking out the window can see that there's just a light mist coming down. That person exaggerates. And then we go, oh my God, that's all out of context. It doesn't fit the situation. It doesn't fit the interpretation that the rest of us would have or that the rest of us would give. Which brings me to one of the other pieces that I wanted to touch on here, which is that even though we have this massive set of agreements, and it's just understood in language, and that's not even getting into all of the other symbols that we can talk about, cultural symbols, etc., although many of those are embedded in language as well. But that person who exaggerates, that person who is outside of the norm, which if you're listening to this program, you probably feel yourself outside of the norm of society. At least I would guess that you do in some ways. And that person who is outside of the normal pattern, where are they coming from? Why are they exaggerating? Well, maybe it's for attention. Maybe they're aware consciously and they're exaggerating in that manner because it draws more attention to them. And that's fine. But that brings us to another level here of expressing not just to get meaning across, but to get a response. In other words, to get a reaction. And in many communications, many times when we're talking to others, we are looking for a reaction. But in those circumstances where it's exaggerated to that degree, often the reaction is not one of understanding. Quite frankly, it's often an emotional response. We want to upset the other person. We want to annoy the other person. We want to get that energy of that response. And that's another piece to this. There's an energy dance here that we're all doing. And we're using the symbols to do it. It's one of the many tools that we have to get a response from others. And it goes on and on and on. How do I know what you're saying? How do you know what I'm saying? Well, you hear the words. They can be recorded. They are being recorded. You can listen to them again. You can memorize them so that you know the exact words I've just said. And you could repeat them. And depending upon your listening skills and your vocal skills, you could get the intonation that I'm using. You could get the volume that I'm using. Depending on the vocal qualities you have, you might be able to get close to what I sound like. That's what comedians do when they do impressions. They do everything they can to give the hints that lead you to symbolically connect that this vocal pattern is representative of that person. Saturday Night Live and all the impressions they've done of the presidents through the years. Some better than others. Sometimes they sound very alike, even in the timbre and the tone of the voice. Most often what they're getting is the timing and the mannerisms and the way of pausing and the way of emphasizing certain particular words that, for those of us who are listening who don't think in those terms, we just recognize the similarity and we go, oh, he's making fun of President Bush here. Or, oh, he's making fun of President Clinton here. And we allow ourselves to be taken by that connection. But essentially for me, again, not necessarily in Jungian terms, I'm not trying to pollute Jung, that's symbolic. We're using the speech patterns. We're using the intonation. We're using the patterns of emphasis to create a symbol of this other person and his or her speech patterns to get a response, to get a reaction. In these circumstances, the reaction we're seeking is laughter. We're seeking to exaggerate them, to make them seem more outside the norm, to extend them to the point of, well, I'll exaggerate, to the point of the grotesque, the point where it becomes something that we would laugh at and point at, where it would be something that we would want to stay away from. And we're doing that every time that we're alluding to anything that is not objective. Anytime I'm saying something and I'm trying to get a meaning across that is not chair. Well, and based on the example of chair, how hard is it to know, truly know, what exactly I mean when I say chair? I could be thinking of the chair . For those of you who watched that show, an image may have come to mind. The rest of you who may know about that show, if you know about it at all, it might bring something to mind if you know about that character, if you know about the time period of the program, if you know about the social commentary in the program, it might cause you to have something to come to mind. It might be accurate, might not. For those of you who don't watch television or who didn't watch that particular program, nothing has come to mind except what's he talking about? And we do that all the time through illusion. We try to explain one thing with something else. Back to Archie Bunker's chair. If I'm going into a place that I've never been in before and I come out of it and I describe to you what the inside is like and I say, well, it was like Archie Bunker's chair. Well, beat up, old, ratty, and yet probably comfortable. Those are the things I would mean, but that might not be what you would assume. Because you have your own perspective based on your own experience, whether you watched that show or not. What you took away from it. What you remember from it. It's been years since I've seen an episode, so I don't know how clear that picture is in my head. So how can I get it clearly across to you? And that, to me, is one of the problems, one of the challenges. It's also one of the gifts that we are so symbol-oriented. It makes for rich communication. A lot of layers can be added in one single sentence or one single word. I don't have an example right here. That's too much pressure. But it also makes for a lot of chaos and contradiction because I'm coming from where I'm coming from. Makes for confusion. If you're not coming from exactly the same place I'm coming from, then you're getting an approximation of what I mean based in your history. Based in your experiences. Now, as with any relationship, the more time you spend with someone, the more time you interact with them, the more time you talk to them, the more time you hear them, the greater the context you have for what they're trying to say. Because perhaps some things have come up in the past that were confusions. And you dealt with them. Sitcoms are this way. Situation comedies on television, lots of them have miscommunication as a key. Somebody says one thing and he knows what he means and the other character doesn't. And so misadventure occurs. And comedy occurs because of that. It's not just sitcoms. Sitcoms are essentially a development of the 20th century of other forms of comedy that go back in time. But that miscommunication has been a key throughout human history. And this is part of why, because even when we speak the same language, we're speaking it from two different perspectives, two different histories, two different sets of experiences. And there's a tremendous flexibility in language, probably to overcome that we don't want to be too specific. For instance, back to the word chair. If I needed to tell you everything about a particular chair, describe it as, well, it's all made of wood. It has a hard wooden seat. It's not a square chair. It's rounded on both sides, and it has little indentations, theoretically, for where your calves are in the front, and it has poles in the back that make up the back, and then it has a solid piece of wood on top of that that is essentially a headrest, although in this kind of a chair you're never quite comfortable enough to sit back and rest your head. And underneath it, it's not just four legs, but there is essentially a lattice work down there where there's a post that goes from the front leg to the back leg on each side, and then there's two posts that go across from those posts to each other. Then I'm giving you a more specific picture visually of that chair. And there's, let's see, eight poles down the back. That's going to give a pretty specific. But unless the chair is the focus of the conversation, I don't need to be that specific. Chair will do. Kitchen chair or wooden chair, maybe. And so the flexibility of having things we can use as generalizations, chair, that gives us flexibility in how we get across our meaning. Along with exaggeration and metaphor, etc. And what's my point, you might be asking? Sometimes I wonder that myself. Well, multiple points here, perhaps. Some of them I think I've already touched on or made. But the most important one I'm getting to right now is that I really believe that for me, my desire is to listen a lot more closely to what is being said to me, to what's being offered to me. And in what I do a lot of listening. When I'm not doing this program or offering a group, when I'm in a private session or even setting up a private session, I do a lot of listening. And yet I want to take that even further. I desire to take that even deeper. Because there's so many layers to what's being shared. In everything that I'm saying, my entire life and history exists. The way that I emphasize a certain word in this sentence comes out of my entire history. Now, it's not there in a way that Sherlock Holmes could parse it down and tell you exactly what it was, but there are certain linguists out there who might be able to listen to me talking and give a geographic profile of where I've lived in this lifetime. Every once in a while you see that in some sort of a television show. And, oh, there's a very good person who can tell you, yes, if you tell me how you say this word or whether you say this word or that word, I can tell you whether it was South Boston or whether it was blah, blah, blah. And they can do that because that's their knowledge of the flow and the usage, etc. But that's true for you. Your entire history is in every word, because your entire history comes into this moment. And part of what I believe we're doing coming into our empowerment is not to get rid of our history, but to allow it to be history. In other words, if we've learned something, if we've grown, if I've had an experience, negative or positive, that has affected me and shaped how I look at the world or how I look at other people or how I look at women or how I look at men, what I would desire to do with that is take the learning and leave behind anything that was a limitation. And one of the other things, and I know I've talked about this before, that I love language, love about language. One of the reasons I love language so much is that when you're listening carefully to another person, you can hear things that they don't hear. And that's useful. That's a useful tool to someone who is acting in the realm of counselor, etc. It can be a useful tool in friendships. Or it can be something that will get you in trouble with your friends if you're telling them. But that's not what you said. You said this. They don't necessarily like that. Take my word for it. But the words that we're expressing are coming out of our history. They're coming out of our past experiences. They're coming out of our thought patterns. They're coming out of how our thoughts and our emotions are interrelated. They're coming out of underneath our core beliefs. They're coming out of what deep down we believe. And so we can know a person more deeply the more deeply we're willing to listen. Because listening is about taking in. It's about receiving. And that receiving, we're doing. We're processing through symbols. We're processing through associations. Now, this is one of those realms that goes far outside of just language, where I've been talking primarily here today. Associations even to the point of phobias. People have a traumatic experience, and there was a spider there. Or perhaps the spider caused the trauma. I got bit by a black widow. I got bit by a tarantula. I don't want spiders around me anymore. Or I reached in to pull the tongue out of my shoe, and the spider fell out. Ah, freaked me out. And so now I have that association with all spiders, etc. Not true for me. I love spiders. But we make these associations, we make these generalizations out into the world, and then often they become unconscious. Someone who has a fear of spiders will just naturally kind of flinch away, or they'll want someone else to kill it, or they'll want someone else to take it out, or whatever. And they don't go back and diffuse the history. It's one thing to know that when I was this age, I got freaked out by a spider. It's a whole other thing to live the rest of my life in fear of spiders because I didn't diffuse the energy that got triggered by that particular fright. And I guess I'm doing free association today. Or maybe not so free. I don't know. It's locked in my consciousness. But this is another of the gifts of language, that we can talk about these things. And in going back to them, we can allow ourselves, when we have the awareness of a trauma, we can allow ourselves to talk about it. Now, talking about it in and of itself does not eliminate it, which is why a lot of talk therapy is not necessarily successful at resolving the issues. There's another wonderful book called Focusing, which is all about studies done of patients in psychotherapy or being with psychologists and or psychiatrists. But what it discovered is that for those people who actually get good results in therapy, they literally have aha moments. Now, when I say aha moment, it's not just the light bulb goes off and there's a mental clarity that happens. They have a physical response to that aha moment. They can feel the shift in their physical body. It's like they can feel the block popping and the new flow of energy. For me, I like to equate that to when I hear something or read something that is a profound truth and it just hits me in the right way, we get, well, some people, the goosebumps, some people call them truth bumps or whatever. We get that surge of energy in our body. Now, channeled a long time ago, and I love this explanation even if it's not true, but I believe it is, that was described as the part of our DNA that resonates with that new truth activating. Because at that moment, we truly stepped into a new reality. And we allowed that concept, not just as a concept, but as an experience. And that literally changed our lives. And that's a gift language can give to us. But it's not just any language. It's language that is in the purpose of expressing the truth. One of the issues around communication is knowing who to trust. Who do we trust? Who do we listen to? Because everyone who is speaking, myself included, I don't take myself out of this, everyone who is speaking has their perspective, their viewpoint. This is back near to where we started today. Their viewpoint, and that is what they are seeking to express. And to a degree, conscious or unconscious, everyone who is speaking has not only a perspective, but an agenda. If there wasn't a reason to be speaking, why would you speak? And so agenda, in this case, I don't mean hidden nefarious agenda necessarily, but everyone has a purpose, a reason for speaking. And again, ideally, first level of that is understanding. You have something that you're seeking to get across to the other person. You're hoping that they understand it. Now, that may be to get them to take action. That may be to get them to laugh. That may be to get them to leave. That may be to get them to come and give you a hug. It may be to get them to marry you. It may be to get them to do any particular thing. But there's an agenda, or there wouldn't be communication. Now, a lot of communication. Chit-chat. I don't like chit-chat. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't particularly care for it. But there's a purpose even there. And the purpose is to say we're part of the same community. The purpose is to say I'm safe. That may not be true, but that's the purpose. Some of the psychopaths are really good at mimicking that behavior because they're trying to get that purpose across. So everyone has their own agenda. And we can look out at the world and see agendas that we agree with. In some ways, by listening to this program with me, you're saying that you agree with my agenda. At least that would seem to be the case, because I don't have people writing me emails or calling me going, I can't believe you said that. What a horrible thing to say. I'm not getting heckled about my radio program. So I'm presuming that we have similar agendas about what we would like in the world. And this goes right to the beginning of the program when we connect up consciously as a community to connect energies. But communication, clear communication, requires us to clarify those symbols that we're using sometimes. If I have an issue, and this is another, it's not a New Year's resolution, but it goes with the deeper listening. It's another desire I have, a choice that I would like to make. In that, and part of it is why I want to do the deeper listening. That I would choose to be courageous enough to ask when I'm not sure that I understand what you're saying. Or, since it's really difficult to be absolutely sure, just to ask more frequently for clarification anyway. Because some of the biggest blow-ups I've had in my life have been about that miscommunication. This person said this phrase, I heard this meaning, they consciously meant this meaning. Maybe they underneath meant this other meaning. Maybe that was what I was hearing. Maybe it wasn't. But that's another desire I have, is to allow myself to recognize how much our communication is based in the symbolic and to make choices to clarify that my symbols match your symbols as closely as possible so that we can communicate as clearly as possible so that we can create a world that has more harmony in it. So, I'm going to leave off there. I'll probably get to symbols again on the bigger picture, although communication is a pretty big tapestry. Anyway. All right, let's do... Well, before we do the channeling, I'm just going to mention this. On Friday, I started the new series, The Quickening. It will be on each new moon of 2013. And I must say, it was pretty potent. So if you didn't do it, and you would like to do it, let me know. If you'd like more information, it's on my website, ourearthpass.com, in pretty great detail. I could tweak it a little bit, but I want to communicate as clearly as possible. So I could tweak it a little bit, I'm sure. And if you have any questions, of course, feel free to get a hold of me about that. But I'd love to have you join us for that. It's going to be quite a potent journey. And the purpose, since I haven't stated that here this week during this commercial, the purpose is about expanding our experience, our direct experience of divinity while in these dimensions, while in a physical body, not only during this lifetime, but moving forward, moving through the energy system, to do it even in this year, to get a deeper experience of divinity and to get it more frequently, more consistently. So that's the stated intention, and we hope you'll join us for the quickening. So as always with the channeling, I would ask you to allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning. After I take a drink and bring in whoever is going to join us today. Hello, dear ones. We are the stone beings come to be with you. We know that because we are participating with you, that this is a time of great change for humanity. And we would encourage you to call upon us more as you are seeking to bring in new forms, to call upon us more to help you realize those forms, to bring them into being, to ground them. It is not an accident that you talk about the cornerstone, laying the cornerstone at the foundation of when you are building a new edifice. Choose a cornerstone for each matter that is important to you, for each thing that you would seek to manifest. pick a stone. We guarantee you that the stone will pick you if you are open to it. Pick a stone and ask that stone being to aid you in anchoring the vibration of what you are seeking to bring into being, what you are seeking to bring into experience. There are those who carry stones around with them in their pockets. There are those who create altars with them. There are those when they are out and about, they pile stones up. The ancients loved to move stones, to realign us, to connect to us more directly, and to invoke our aid. We were not just brought there so that they could look over our shoulders, so to speak, to see where the solstice was, but to connect with the wisdom that we brought to anchor in what they were choosing to do. You think, when you think about stone, you think solidity. And certainly different ones of us have different degrees of solidity. You might think permanence, and yet we change and grow just as you do. We just do it much more slowly. And our growth is not necessarily expansion, like your waistlines. Sometimes our growth is contraction. We subtract away, as when we are co-creating with the sculptor, we subtract away that which is no longer necessary. And we give birth to sand and gravel. But we would say, bring one of us to you, or perhaps more if you choose, and if they are agreeable, bring a stone being to you. No matter how small, it has great, great capacity and power to aid you in your physicalizing of what you would choose to manifest. This is a time of many new foundations being laid by humanity. Choose to be a conscious creator. Choose to be a conscious manifester. Choose to be one who uses cornerstones to strengthen what you create. Choose to be wise and remember, we were here before you took this shape. Most of us will be here long after you depart this shape. You do not wish continuity and sameness in your life, but you do wish for strength and solidity in your purpose. So do not claim us to aid you to keep your personality or your thoughts the same, but do claim us to strengthen and support your purpose, especially your purpose of self-discovery. No, that we are here with you. Namaste. All right. Thank you to the stone beings. And thank you, Doug. Start those chimes whenever you're ready. And thank you to all of you out there co-creating with me today. I appreciate your presence. I appreciate your energy. I appreciate your willingness to share time with me and with the rest of this community. So, of course, I'd love to hear from you. Any feedback is good feedback. What you liked, what you didn't like, what you'd like more of, what you'd like less of. Suggestions for topics to talk about. Anything and everything you might like to send my way, I'm happy to receive. I won't always respond directly, but I will always read it. All right, my friends, I'll be back same time, same place next week. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I would be delighted if you would join me again. Namaste.